Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power op een zonovergoten zondagmorgen. Wat is het fijn om zometeen in de Crystal Cathedral te kunnen luisteren naar de vrouw van Robert Anthony Schuller, dus de jonge dominee Schuller zoals iedereen zegt, Donna Schuller. En dan heb ik natuurlijk twee gasten hier en die zijn alle twee zeer bekend. Twee finalisten uit Idols, Marisha en Angelique, of Angelique en Marisha. Ik vind het ongelooflijk leuk dat jullie alle twee zijn. Dat gebeurt niet zoveel, hè? Dat jullie samen. En heel verrassend is dat ze niet alleen kijken naar Hour of Power, maar dat het dieper zit. Dat hun geloof in God hun belangrijkste beweegreden is. En daar gaan jullie straks over vertellen. Ja. Heel fijn dat jullie er zijn. En wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Well, we have a wonderful service plan today. First of all, my wife and the mother of my children, Donna, has just returned from Shreveport, Louisiana, where she and several other women participated in the build with the founders of Habitat for Humanity, Millard and Linda Fuller. And she's got some footage to share, and she has some testimonies to share, and it was a tremendous experience. And so we know that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that as a God of miracles, you're stepping into our lives this very moment. You're touching our hearts. You're touching our souls. You're touching the very core of our being. And there you are producing hope and health and wellness and goodness. So help us, O Lord, to open our eyes, to follow you, to and accept your leadership, we pray. Amen. may be seated. This morning from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, hear these words. God is speaking through these scripture. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult, not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. I set before you today life and prosperity. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you. So now, choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. There are plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future with hope. Wow. Over 2,000 years ago, and how alive they are. May God bless these words from our Holy Bible.
Nearly 200 years ago, in South Carolina, a 26-year-old music teacher put together a hymn book called Southern Harmony. In it were the great old hymns that those people sang with spirit, enthusiasm, and confidence. From that collection, our anthem today, Saints Bound for Heaven, it proclaims that we are freed from the bondage of death through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that God, the Lord Jehovah, will help each one of us today in our problems and trials, just like he did in days of old. And that throughout eternity, we will all rejoice together, singing glory to the God of heaven. You know, in those days, they had few, if any at all, trained singers. It was simply an entire congregation singing with deep personal conviction their personal feelings of their God. So as we sing, we'd like to ask you to picture and hear in your mind those 18th and 19th century Christians singing like this every morning, every Sunday morning, and every Sunday evening.
By and by, by and by, how the bondage
Thank you, choir. Thank you, orchestra. Thank you for everybody who makes this music possible. Well, our guest this morning is a young woman who has a wonderful testimony and a beautiful, just a beautiful thing to share with us. Her name is Judy Winter. She was a devoted and loving mother to her son, Eric, a musically talented child with cerebral palsy who passed away in February of 2003 at the age of 12. She is a recipient of the 2006 CEO Award, which stands for Chief Everything Officer, for community outreach in the nationwide search sponsored by AOL and Dove for her work as an advocate for children with special needs. As an award-winning journalist, she has written her book entitled Breakthrough Parenting for Children with Special Needs, Raising the Bar of Expectations. Would you please welcome to the Crystal Cathedral, Judy Winter.
Good morning.
Judy, God loves you, and so do we. You wrote this book titled Breakthrough Parenting for Children with Special Needs, Raising the Bar of Expectations.
I did.
And I'm assuming you're holding, this is your son, Eric.
That is my son, Eric, who passed away, as you mentioned, in 2003, very suddenly and unexpectedly. The light of my life, no question about it. And today's changing lives in a whole new way.
So tell us a little bit about Eric.
He was an amazing child who was born with some significant challenges that included wheelchair use and limited motor ability. But because individuals looked past his disability to uncover ability, my son was also composing music before he died. He had a gift for music. And not only did a wise professional uncover that, but also because our family loved him so much and nurtured him, and because God had a great plan, our son had a tremendous life before he passed away. And as I said, he's continuing to change lives today worldwide. Hmm.
Tell us a little bit about cerebral palsy. It can be, but not necessarily mental dysfunction?
That's correct. Cerebral palsy is injury to the brain, either in utero or during the delivery, and sometimes that can involve mental impairment. In the case of my son, his disability was physical, not mental. So he was very, very bright in a very challenged body, but he was able to achieve a great deal as a result of his cognitive abilities.
What are some of the struggles that parents with special needs children deal with?
Well, you know, it's all-encompassing. It changes the family dynamics, certainly. It is a tremendous parenting responsibility. It challenges their financial status. It challenges their self-care. It challenges their marriage. There really isn't a part of the family dynamic that is not in some way impacted by having a child with a disability, especially if that child has significant disabilities. That can make a real difference, and it's a tremendous challenge for many families.
What inspired you to put this book together and to write this book?
Eric. Eric inspired me. He inspires me every day. God inspired me. It is ultimately his project. When Eric was born, I was very, very, actually I'll say outraged, because that's how I felt, that I felt my second child was an invisible child because he happened to have a disability. I already had a six-year-old daughter who we had raised to be all that she could be, but when I had a son with a disability, all of a sudden the information out there did not value him in the same way. And I said this was not good enough for my son then, it's not good enough for children and families today. And so I promised Eric, I was already a journalist, I promised him I would take what we learned to help other families avoid some of what we had to go through so that they could have better lives for their children. And that book fulfills the ultimate promise that I made to my son. And he continues to impact people worldwide today. But ultimately, it is a tribute to God and the plan that he had for both of our lives. I could never have seen this coming when my son was first diagnosed.
You said a tribute to God. Tell us about your faith.
Faith is so important. It underlies everything that I have done. It underlies this. The success being here today would mean absolutely nothing without faith. And I think I can say to you honestly, I doubt I'd be standing here today for any reason if I did not have faith to help me through not only the challenges of parenting a child with a disability, which are significant, but also I've got a marriage that is going on 30 years, which I am very, very proud of in today's world because the divorce rate is very high in families with children with special needs. And also just the fact that if I could not have benefited from this ministry televised through the books that have been written at times when I couldn't get to church because of the fact my son was in a pediatric intensive care unit or because he was ill and I couldn't take him to church and I had to stay home with him, I don't know where I'd be today, but it would not be here celebrating this wonderful story and trying to help other families. And this is all part of what God had planned. I firmly believe that. And he deserves the credit. So we want to go on record giving him that credit.
Absolutely. We want to give God credit where credit is due.
Absolutely.
And Judy, I want to thank you for being my guest today, for coming and sharing with us your beautiful testimony of how you God made a positive impact in your life through a beautiful young boy, your son, Eric.
Thank you.
And for sharing his smile with us.
It's pretty powerful.
And sharing his life with us and sharing this book with us. Well, again, we thank you. We love you. God loves you.
Thank you. And I love you.
Tears and my will is breaking. I don't think that I can carry the burden of it anymore. All of my hopes and my dreams and my best laid plans are slowly slipping through my folded hands. So I'm gonna it down. I'm gonna learn to trust you now. What else can I do? Everything I am depends on you. And if the sun don't come back up, you know your love would be enough. I'm gonna let it go. I'm gonna let it be. I'm gonna lay it down. I've been walking through this world like I'm barely living, buried in the down of this hole I've been digging, but you're pulling me out. I'm finally breathing in the open air. Oh, this room may be dark, but I'm finally seeing there's a new ray of hope. And now I'm believing that the past is past and the future's beginning to look brighter now. Oh, 'cause all of my hopes and my dreams and my best laid plans are safe and secure when I place them in your hands. So I'm gonna lay it down. I'm gonna learn to trust you now. Oh, what more can I do? Oh, everything I am depends on. I'm gonna lay it down.
Jesse Velasquez, wat heeft ze een stem. En geweldig om naar haar te kijken en te luisteren. En ik vind het ook leuk om hier, heel bijzonder ook, als twee gasten te hebben. Marisha en Angelique, beide zeer bekende gezichten in Nederland van Idols.
Ja.
Maar jullie zijn ook, en dat zal voor vele mensen een verrassing zijn, trouwe kijkers van Hour of Power. Maar als jij, je bent al een aantal keer in de Christelijke Cathedral geweest zelfs.
Ja, al een keer of 9 denk ik of zo, ja.
Vind je ervan?
Ja, ik vind het sowieso, het gebouw is natuurlijk wel heel indrukwekkend. Het ziet er heel gaaf uit. En ik vind zelf het mooiste eraan de muziek. Maar dat komt omdat dat een beetje mijn... dat orgel is wel ontzettend gaaf en het koor is gaaf. Ik vind... Ik ben er op jonge leeftijd voor het eerst heen gegaan. En dan moet je wel een beetje wennen aan hoe het, wat er allemaal gebeurt. Omdat het, je ziet zoveel en er gebeuren zoveel dingen. En, maar het is wel heel indrukwekkend om daar te zijn.
Stel je voor, je zou in de Christelijke Cathedral mogen zingen in een duet met bijvoorbeeld, ik noem maar bekende gospelnamen als B.B. Winans of C.C. Winans of Michael W. Smith. Zou je dat leuk vinden om daar... Ja?
Michael W. Smith, ja. Zeker weten.
Ja?
Ja, zeker.
Die vind je te gek?
Ja, die vind ik echt heel goed. En zijn teksten spreken me echt aan. Absoluut.
Een verrassing voor jullie, want die zit straks in het programma. In de Christelijke Cathedral.
Echt waar? Echt waar?
Ja. Oh, waar hadden jullie nou maar geweest?
Ja, waar, maar niet meer daar. Ja.
Kom,
we gaan nog even. Ja.
Heel serieus. Wat betekent geloof voor jou? Want weet je, je kijkt naar Idols en daar zie je een heel spektakel waar het allemaal om mensen gaat.
Ja.
Het is niets belangrijker dan de deelnemers die moeten winnen of gaan verliezen. En dan lijkt het wel of dat alles is in het leven.
Ja, dat is het niet.
Maar wat is het dan wel voor jou?
Nou, voor mij, als ik kijk naar de Idols-periode... is het ook gewoon een ontzettende kracht geweest, zeg maar. Je weet, ik had heel erg het gevoel dat ik gewoon niet alleen voor stond, zeg maar. Je maakt zoveel dingen mee en er komen zoveel dingen op je af. En op een gegeven moment wordt het toch een beetje je wereldje, omdat je daar zo intensief mee bezig bent. En juist op die momenten besef je dan wel dat het niet is. Dat als dat het alleen zou zijn, dat je dan toch wel heel wat mist in je leven. En het plezier wat ik aan heb beleefd en het onderdrukken van de spanning, want er komt heel veel spanning bij kijken. En de mensen die mij gesteund hebben en de liefde die ik heb meegekregen van mensen, dat heeft mij wel doen beseffen dat God voor mij wel heel belangrijk is, zeg maar. Dat ik heb het echt niet alleen gedaan, zeg maar.
Heel belangrijk.
Ja, voor mij wel heel belangrijk.
Hoe was dat bij jou, Angelique?
Net zoals Marisha. Ik bedoel, ik heb me echt elke keer bezig gehouden met van de vraag te stellen aan de heren van, is dit goed? Kan ik door? Tot ook bij de theaterrondes. Elke keer ging je door. En dat was zo een spanning van 2 dagen achter elkaar. Nou, dat hou je bijna niet voor mogelijk. Dat als je dan niet, zeg maar, op dat moment jezelf centert van, nou, oké, maar het kan nu over zijn.
Ja.
Dan,
ja, maar ik ga heel harde vragen jullie stellen. Hè? Jullie hebben het alle twee over wie zo belangrijk is in jullie leven, God. Maar je hebt meegedaan aan Idols. En dat betekent af God. God or the Idols. Hoe kun je daar dan toch aan meedoen? Dat vind ik wel knap als je daar in overeind blijft. Ik veroordeel het niet hoor. Want ik vond
nee, maar ik vond dat juist daarom dacht ik van wauw. En wij christenen staan daar.
Ja.
Ik zie dat als een overwinning.
Ja?
En ik zag ook van dat wij dan, want het komt niet vaak voor. Het was ook zo van, heel veel mensen hebben erop gereageerd van, toen ik God bedankte als eerste, toen ik eruit ging. Want hij heeft ervoor gezorgd. En ik wist ook dat hij op dat moment het goed vond. Van, het is genoeg geweest, Angelique. Ja. En nu ga je eruit. Het heeft voor mij heel veel deuren geopend. Want ik kan de dingen doen die ik altijd al in mijn achterhoofd had. En ik sta als christen, heb ik wel mee gedaan in Idols. Maar ik kan Gods naam nog steeds verhogen.
Ja.
Want ik kom uit Idols, maar ik ga Gods naam verhogen. Ja. Dus voor mij is het heeft eraan meegespeeld. Dus eigenlijk was het een soort van, een trick.
Zo zie ik het
was een trick.
Yes, en, het ook zo.
Ja, nou, ik heb voordat ik eraan meedeed ook wel... in gebeden gevraagd van, als dat iets voor mij is, als ik daar een weg in zou mogen vinden, dan dat ik me dan daar open voor zou stellen. En als ik dus zou merken dat ik niet ver zou komen, dat dan niet Gods weg met mij zou zijn, zeg maar. Ja. Dus wat dat betreft heb ik, kijk, je wil vaak bidden in die zin van, oh Heer, mag ik wel heel ver komen of zo. Maar dat heb ik bewust niet gedaan. Ik heb gewoon gezegd, als dit mijn weg zou mogen zijn, dan ga ik dat samen met God doen. En ik vind ook, juist als je in deze, als je voor zo'n carrière kiest, dat je juist als christen veel meer kan bereiken op dit soort vlakken, in midden in de wereld, dan wanneer je je blijft beperken tot de christenwereld.
Als je een Bijbelse figuur mocht uitkiezen, wie kies je dan?
Ja, Jezus. Ja, ja, gewoon het feit hoe gewoon hij was, hoe gewoon hij is. En hoe hij zich onder de schade, hoe hij onder de mensen liep. De zwervers, de prostituees en gewoon zo gewoon. En dat laat wel zien van, hij is gewoon een voorbeeld van hoe je moet zijn. En hoe je tegenover de mensen moet staan. En mensen niet moet veroordelen. Want als hij, dat wat hij voor ons heeft gedaan. En dan, als je dan nog mensen wil veroordelen, dan denk ik bij mezelf, wauw. Hij deed dat en ik had er nog ineens om gevraagd. Of ik wist het niet, ik was daar niet bij. En hij was al voor mij gestorven. Dat is nou, als je dat, ik zeg het nu. En dat is voor mij het geloof. Wetende gewoon dat hij dat heeft gedaan.
Daar zeg je wat, hij is voor mij gestorven.
Ja.
Heel veel mensen zeggen, jongeren die kijken, zeggen, heb ik dat nou nodig, dat er iemand voor mij sterft?
Maar wie zou dat doen? Als je jezelf die vraag dat stelt. Wie zou jij voor mijn zonde, zou jij aan het kruis gaan en sterven? Zou je bloed laten vloeien voor dat? Als ik dan, toen bij de bekering heb ik die, werd die vraag, dus ik krijg ook bijbelstudie. En toen werd die vraag dat opgesteld, weet je, van, zou jij dat voor je over, zou je dat over hebben voor je zoon? Weet je, dat je kind, zeg maar. Dan heb je al heel veel voor over. Een moeder al voor haar kind. Maar sterven voor iemand zonde, voor iemand bijvoorbeeld die je kind wat aan heeft gedaan. Ja. Iets vreselijk. En dan nog sterven voor die persoon. Wauw.
En Maresje?
Nou, misschien wel de moeder van Jezus bijvoorbeeld. Maria. Ik zou het ook wel eens willen kijken hoe dat is. Als je zou wel willen weten hoe het voor haar moet zijn geweest om om Jezus als zoon te hebben gehad, zeg maar, op de aarde. Om daar, en om hem te verliezen. En om te weten waarom dat is geweest. En dan toch die pijn mee moeten hebben gemaakt. En dat zou ik het misschien, ja, dat moet ook wel heel indrukwekkend zijn.
Dat is een van de liederen, dacht ik, over dat thema.
Mary was the first one. Daar hebben we een lied van gezongen. Ja.
Maresja, zou je ons genoeg willen doen door te zingen wat in je hart opkomt nu?
Okay. Now it was told that the holy healer, he was passing by one day. There was a man who was afflicted, but he had the faith to say, if I could ever get to Jesus, my healing will be the proof. If I can get through the door, I'll tear off the roof, 'cause there's a healer in the house today.
Coupletten. Heel coupletten.
Ja. Angelique, jouw moeder zit mee te luisteren. Ja. En Maresje, jouw vriend zit mee te luisteren. Dus die zit daar te applaudisseren hier in de tuin. Ja, ik ga even naar jou luisteren. Kijk, ik kan mezelf zo'n privévertoning veroorloven natuurlijk.
Ja, wat zal ik zingen?
Jezus als de genezer overigens, zong je. Dat was,
Sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Wow. Prachtig. Ja. Wie weet, staan jullie ooit te zingen op het podium in de Crystal Cathedral?
Nou, wow, dat zou wel leuk zijn.
Oh ja, dat zou wel leuk zijn.
Ja, absoluut.
Oké, goed. Ik vond het ongelooflijk leuk dat jullie er waren. Ook voor jullie spontaniteit en jullie echtheid. Want ik heb nu de echte Maresje en de echte Angelique ontmoet. En dat vond ik heel erg leuk. Ik heb een herinnering van jullie.
Ja,
hij is loodzwaar.
Nou.
En er zit een hele diepe inhoud in. Het is de Bijbel. Dat is mooi, hè?
Ja, hij is ja. echt heel mooi.
Ja. Ja. Ongelooflijk bedankt. En we horen ongetwijfeld nog van jullie. En ik heb het beloofd, hè? Want naar wie gaan we nu?
Michael W. Smith.
Oh. Ja! Dat zeggen ze natuurlijk ook in de Crystal Cathedral. Ja. Wij gaan inderdaad kijken en luisteren naar wat jullie, denk ik, en heel veel jongeren noemen de beste gospelzanger van deze tijd. En zijn naam is Michael W. Smith. En wat kan die geweldig zingen.
Choice to deny God and live. For her there was one choice to make. This was a time, this was a dance. She lived every moment, left nothing to chance. She swam in the sea, drank of the deep, embraced the mystery of all she could be. This was a time. Death died a long time ago, swallowed in life so her life carries on. But still it's so hard to let go. And this was a time, this was a dance. She lived every moment, left nothing to chance. She swam in the sea, drank of the deep, embrace the mystery of all she could be. And what if tomorrow, and what if today, faced with the question, no, what would you say? This is your time, this is your dance. Live every moment, leave nothing to chance. Swim in the sea and drink of the deep, and fall on the mercy and hear yourself pray. Won't you save me? Won't you? Live every moment, leave nothing to chance. Swim in the sea and drink of the deep. Embrace the mystery of all you can be. This is your time, this is your dance. Live every moment, leave nothing to chance. Swim in the sea and drink of the deep. Embrace the mystery of all. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time.
My wife, Donna, has just returned from doing a build with the founders of Habitat for Humanity, Linda and Millard Fuller. And she's going to be sharing with us some of the exciting things that took place in Shreveport, Louisiana. Would you please welcome to the Crystal Cathedral my wife and my friend, Donna Shuler.
Well, good morning. Robert mentioned earlier, I think, that I just returned from an amazing six-day trip, an adventure, if you will, starting from last Sunday until Friday night in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I have a brief video I'd like to share with you, and it'll sort of fill in some of the details, because I'm going to talk about that today. The second morning here, our morning just started. We were discussing on the way over during devotions, you know, what this means, building a house for a family. And we're all starting to realize it's a much bigger project and with much greater benefits than we ever would have imagined. And one of the things we're realizing is we're not just rebuilding for this family, but we're rebuilding for the community here, because this is a community that has been really dead for the last several years, and they've got several abandoned houses around here that are being replaced with homes like the one we're building. We're really rebuilding for the kingdom of God at large, and I would guess that within the 12 women that are here, within each and every one of our lives, we're probably somehow rebuilding some pieces of ourselves maybe that have been kind of hurt over the years, because everybody has things that they're hurting about. And so again, it's just there's a greater purpose here, and there's a greater reason. It's not just the physical brawn that we need to build and the hammer and all that, but it's a rebuilding of God's kingdom. I don't think there's anything more beautiful than that. Now, I have some people I'm going to ask to stand up in a minute, but they probably don't recognize me dressed the way I am just now. So I need to just real quick put on the outfit I had on all week, and then I'm going to ask my partners, a group of ladies from this church, to stand up, and I would like to recognize them. So at this time, ladies, if you would stand up, please. All the ladies that went with me. This is in your honor. There was a group of, thank you very much for standing, everybody. These are my partners, because we partnered on this incredible project along with the Fuller Center for Housing, which my friends Millard and Linda Fuller founded, along with Habitat for Humanity and the Shreveport-Bossier Community Renewal. It was an unbelievable week. All I can say is you need to go do it. We have two more trips coming up in June. You can get information out on the kiosks, on the patio. If you don't go, you'll be missing out. That's all I can say. Speaking of partnerships, the reason I'm here today is my husband asked me to partner with he and his father as he started this series, what, about 2 weeks ago now. So I don't think it's any coincidence that when he assigned me my verse a couple of weeks ago, it just happened to fit in with this project of restoration and renewal in Shreveport. My verse is from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. You know, I first think about this passage in the way it was written by the great psalmist David, and he talks about, and he uses as an example, the way a shepherd leads his sheep to calm waters. Now, I think you can understand that. You have a flock of sheep, and they're thirsty, they're hungry, and they need rest. So surely the shepherd would want them to rest in calm waters. He wouldn't want them to be led down the wrong road and end up in rapids. They would surely be swept away. So I've spent a lot of time on the water. I grew up at the beach from the earliest time I can remember. I grew up in, first of all, in the Los Angeles area on the beaches there. And then when I was in third grade, we moved to Laguna Beach, and I continued to grow up on the beach. So I've spent a lot of time both swimming in the water and also boating on the water and enjoying all kinds of water activities. When thinking about calm waters, I was reminded of some times when I actually put myself into some rather choppy waters. It wasn't too many years ago, we were down in Mexico, and we had a little, we were actually way down into the midsection of Baja California, and we wanted to go ashore. There are just a bunch of little villages on the way down, for those of you that have ever made that trek down from California to the very tip of Baja California. But we were making our way in one of these rubber dinghies. I think it was about a 14-foot dinghy, and it had a little engine on it. So as we started into shore, now keep in mind, I was brought up on the beach. I was brought up surfing in the waves and all that. So I'm not afraid of the ocean. But at some point, I lost my trust in the leader. And I decided that the swell behind me was going to take us over. So before it did, guess what I did? I went overboard myself. I said, I'm out of here. I'm a good swimmer. I'm going to swim the rest of the way to shore. So as I dove overboard, guess what happened to the rest of them? They purled, the boat flipped, and all three of them went into the ocean. Now, there was really no harm done, except the fact is that I created chaos. I created the rough waters, and it was all in my mind. Had I stayed in the boat, I'm sure it would have been fine, and especially since I had a great leader. My husband was the leader or the captain of that little ship that day. So, you know, sometimes we just get into our own problems. We make our own chaos. We create our own rough waters because we do not seek out still waters. We do not allow someone to lead us. We try to do it ourselves. I was also reminded of a time, actually a lot more recently, about a year and a half ago in Israel. We took our family to Israel the week after Christmas, so it'll be 2 years ago this coming December. And on one of these days, our group that had arranged this little trip for us, they suggested that we go up and take a Jeep trip up into the Golan Heights. And from the Golan Heights, you can see a couple of the different countries. You can see you can look down and see the Sea of Galilee behind you. And what we didn't know is it's a very, very dangerous trip. This driver met us, this guide, if you will, this leader of this Jeep trip, and he pointed out to the left and to the right on the way up there. He said, you know, they're live landmines all around here. They're live. And I thought, oh my gosh, am I ever thankful that I'm with this guide? You know, what if we had decided to hike up the hill, which all of us could have done. We were all capable of hiking up a 2-mile hill for sure. But again, the point is we followed our guide. He kept us safe. And he actually probably may have kept us from blowing up. And again, I was reminded that this is how God works in our lives. He guides us. He leads us if we allow him to. And he really keeps us from blowing up our own lives. I can't help but come back to this last week and my partnership with all the wonderful people in Shreveport, in the Allendale community of Shreveport, Bossier City, Louisiana. We first arrived there, a bus picked us up every morning, and as we arrived on the job site, the first day we thought, okay, well, this should be pretty easy. I think most of us thought, well, we'll be there and we'll do a little building, maybe we'll do a little painting, a little bit of supervising, and perhaps they'll let us hammer once in a while because surely there'll be real contractors there. Well, you can imagine our surprise. We arrived there and there were some foremen, but what we didn't know is the only direction they gave us was, as we looked at the slab that had been poured up on these pillars and the foundation of the house had been set in place, they said, don't back up. You can see how far off the ground it is. So whatever you do, don't back up. Okay, we won't. What about the saw? What about the hammer? What about who's going to show us? Well, they actually showed by example. So as the week went on, we got more and more confident. And that's when, once again, we got in trouble. We started manually hammering, and we did that. Gosh, the group that was hammering probably hammered half the morning. And this is in hot, hot weather. I mean, it was 80 to 90 degrees, but as one of our gals said, it felt like it was raining without raining because of the humidity. So as we started getting more confident with the hammer, well, they finally revealed to us that they had two or three of these electric nail guns, the great big power tools that you probably saw in the video here. One of the problems with having these power tools available is that there was a false sense of confidence and security, and we would get ahead of the leaders, and we would make mistakes, and we'd have to undo it. We'd have to take all the nails out. I mean, these are big nails that, you know, you have to pound. I went from like 10 to 15 strokes of the hammer to, I think I got it down to 6 by the time we left. So I got a little bit better, although I was kind of all over the place. But what happened again is when you have a false sense of confidence in life, when you don't know who you're following, you make mistakes. And are you going to make mistakes anyway by following God? Sure you will. But I think it's a great reminder that God's laws are there to protect us, and they're just meant to guide us and keep us safe and keep us on course so that we don't make huge mistakes. I guess my question for you today is, who are you following? Because everybody is following something or someone. And I'd like to encourage you to let Christ lead you beside still waters. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. What does restoration mean? I was recently talking to my brother-in-law before I left on this trip, and I said, you know, I need something to talk about with restoration. This is before I went on the trip and before I knew I'd have too much information on restoration. But I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he restores cars. That's one of his hobbies, Jim Coleman. And he said, well, Donna, let me tell you a couple things about restoring cars. He said, I can use a 1955 T-Bird as an example, for instance. He said, after that car is restored, it's better than new, and it's also more valuable. And as we got to talking, I thought, doesn't God do the same thing for us? Once he restores us, once he rebuilds us, he repairs our cracks, and he gives us a new paint job, so to speak. We're actually better than we were before. We're not better than everybody else, but we're better than we were before, and that's what's important. Getting back to the community that we restored, this is a community called Allendale. And Allendale is part of Shreveport, Bossier City, which is a suburb. They're both suburbs. And Allendale is a particular area that we were in. Now, something important to know about Allendale is that at one point it was the most dangerous part of Shreveport, Louisiana. And it was so dangerous that there was nothing but drug dealers and prostitution. And I sat for a long time with a woman that has been very instrumental in restoring that area. And she told me, she pointed over to this side and she said, this is where the drug dealers hung out. And she pointed over to this side as I was sitting on this little bench with her in this garden of hope that she planted. She said, on this side, this is where the prostitutes hung out. And that was only about 9 or 10 years ago. So we're there. And of course, you know, it wasn't dangerous when we were there. They've long been evicted and very unsafe living conditions. The sewers were bad, no electricity, no running water over time. And actually, the houses were falling off their foundations. Some of them had been burnt out because of burst gas lines. So at one point, it had been a really dangerous area. So just to let you know, when we went into any of the stores we went into, because we had a lot of press coverage, they said, oh my gosh, you're down there. Well, it's a good thing you weren't there a few years ago. And there were a lot of stories of that. So we were there to restore that community, to bring back to life, to rebuild. What I wasn't prepared for was the rebuilding, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Not just the Massey family, a family of 6, a mom, a dad, and 4 children. One of the children is handicapped both emotionally and physically. They have a new baby, a 6-month-old. The 6-month-old is on the far right, and the handicapped child, who is 3 years old, is the same size as the 6-month-old, and she's in the middle, in the back with her mom. That's Monique,
and Dwight Massey, and you talk about some great people. You talk about some wonderful people with faith in God, with the knowledge in His restoration power. All you have to do is spend a few minutes talking to them if you can't believe in the power of Jesus Christ to restore. In all of their pain, in all of their relatively new trauma, and just having been evacuated from the horrible Katrina down in the Gulf Coast, and of course Shreveport is 350 miles east, so they're out of dangerous way. Neither of them had ever been out of New Orleans before in their life. They're in their 20s. Until that fateful day when the levee broke. And Monique went on to tell us that she was 7 months pregnant. She was stuck on the roof, the tar roof of her house, with her three children for 3 days. 7 months pregnant. Her handicapped child and her two other children, now 8 and 9 years old, a boy and a girl. Her husband had to leave them right away because both of their mothers live within a few blocks of each other. So her husband went to make sure that his mother, the mothers, both of their mothers, was safe. So as he helped the mothers get out of danger's way, his wife, unbeknownst to him, was stuck on the roof for 3 days. Now, this is something interesting that I didn't know. They had no choice of where they were going to evacuate to. Dwight was taken to the Astrodome. His wife eventually, after 3 days of wading through dirty, disgusting water because she had to go and try to get water for her kids, she even came down with a terrible bacterial infection. And thank God, it's a miracle her child is normal, her six-month-old. But they didn't see each other for months. She was placed on a bus and taken to Shreveport, not her choice. But here's what she said, and this is what's important. That picture was taken in church the first night we were there. They met us at the airport. And they stood up and they shared their testimony, and they said this, and I quote, "We didn't know it then, but God had a better plan." So even now, they know that God had a better plan for their restoration of their lives. Pain, sure, they went through a lot of pain. Are they still going through pain? I can only imagine some of the emotions those children feel and perhaps some of the bad nightmares they may be having through this whole thing. But it takes us back to the real message here. And that's the message of restoration and hope. And I know there's probably a lot of you out there that need restoration in your life today. I don't know what that is. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. One thing for sure, I know that God knows what you need. Maybe you need restoration because you're going through a divorce. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you have problems with some kind of chemical addiction. Or maybe you've just lost a loved one. Maybe they've died. I don't know, but I do know that Jesus Christ is in the restoration bill, the restoration business. Jesus Christ is the master carpenter. And Jesus Christ can rebuild anything, no matter how broken down, no matter how old, no matter how burned off, no matter how far off your foundation you've gotten. If you trust in Him, He will ignite your potential. He will lead you beside still waters, and He will most surely restore your soul. I thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to go down and help others, because through helping others restore their lost and broken parts, we learn to restore those parts of us that need restoration as well. It's true what you say in the Bible. If you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. With what measure you give, it will be given back to you. And I just thank you for this group of women who ventured out in faith to go down and help to rebuild a life, a community, and most importantly, to help rebuild the kingdom of God. We ask all these thankful blessings in your Son's name, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit continue to fill your hearts and lead you to the calm waters of his restoration and peace, today and forever. Amen.
En zo is een einde gekomen aan een prachtige dienst. Hebben jullie genoten van Michael W?
Ja, dat was echt helemaal.
Ja, oké. En mooie preek ook, hè? De Heer is mijn herder. Nou, dat kunnen we alle drie zeggen. En ik hoop dat een heleboel... Ja, met grote overtuiging. En ik hoop dat jij, als je jong bent en je hebt gekeken... je hebt gezegd, nou, waarom leef ik? Ben ik een product van toeval of tijd? Of ben ik ergens voor geboren? Dat jullie, Angelique en Marisha, hebben ook meegeholpen... om antwoorden te geven dat het geloof in God die je herder wil zijn... het allerbelangrijkste is. En vanuit die gedachte een hele goede zondag toegewenst. En graag tot volgende week. This is your time. This is your time.